I'm sure you have. As a species, we seem to be always interested in what we're getting out of a relationship, a deal, a request, whatever. If you ask someone to do something for you, or you tell them to do something if you're in a place of authority, the response is often, what's in it for me? And even if it's not verbalized, the attitude presents itself on a regular basis. And until we teach them differently as parents, a lot of times we get it from our kids. We tell them to do something and the response is, why? That's a veiled way of saying, what's in it for me? Or what's not in it for me? Or what's going to happen if I do not obey you? Our reading tonight, Matthew 19, not a new attitude. That is exactly what Peter is saying in different language in verse 27. Just read, as Derek did, the encounter with the rich young ruler. What must I do to inherit eternal life? We know the conversation well. Obey the commandments. And he wants it narrowed down so he makes sure he gets everything in order. So Jesus answers that. Hey, I've done those. What else do I lack? Jesus, seeing the barrier in his life, says you need to sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And he leaves because he has a lot of property. He's not interested in making that sacrifice. Jesus turns to the disciples and he explains to them that wealth can be an issue, that it can stand between you and God if you trust it, if you cannot let go of it. And there's Peter. They're kind of surprised, you know. If a rich man's not going to make it, if that's going to get in the way, who's going to get there? Oh, well, God, anything is possible. And Peter says, wait a minute. I need to know something, Jesus. That's good to know that giving up everything allows us to follow you, but we've left everything. So, what are we getting in return? You know that's what he means by it because of the way Jesus answers him. Jesus answers the question, what am I getting in return? Well, hey, you 12 are going to sit on thrones. The rest of the world, man, if you give up a house, I'm going to make sure you get it back in some way. You give up family, I'm going to make sure you get it back in some way, and you're going to get eternal life. And so Jesus understood the question, and I just repeated a slide, sorry. But what I want you to focus on is Jesus basically tells Peter, what's in it for you? Absolutely everything. Everything that has any consequence. Anything that matters. I'm not asking you, Jesus says, to follow me for nothing. I've got things in store for you. So, when Jesus calls us, come unto me all who labor and are heavy laden. And then when we spend our lives, after accepting that call, trying to convince others to join us. Now you're in that position here. I want you to think about the other side of it. You're the world. Marty comes to you with the gospel and you're in the world. He says, hey, you need to leave everything that you have and follow Jesus. You want to know what you're going to get out of it. I mean, when someone comes to us with the gospel, they're asking us to leave a former life. They're asking us to leave habits. They're asking us to leave things that may be very important to us. They're asking us to leave relationships. And when we go with the gospel plan, if you understand that person sitting on the other side of the table, that's going through his or her mind. So we need to have an answer. So the point I want you to understand tonight is, when we are sharing the gospel, we have plenty of selling points. When Jesus says, basically, I'm offering you everything, we need to be able to relate that to the world, to give those people with whom we're studying a reason to come out of darkness into light. So we're just going to run through a few of them tonight. Coming to Jesus offers spiritual healing. The great physician is the one who's calling us. And he's offering us the opportunity to have all of our spiritual wounds cleaned and healed. In Matthew 8 and verse 7, in quoting the reference in Isaiah, it says, He Himself took away our infirmities, carried away our diseases. We think of the reference to He removes our sins, He removes our iniquities. But when we think of the fact that we're sin sick, Jesus removes our iniquities as they are our infirmities. Coming to Jesus gives us strength. We are stronger with Him than we are alone. Paul, right before he talks about our Christian armor, says, be made strong, in the power of the Lord, or the strength of His might. In that text, Jesus has just said, hey, even a rich man can get there. With God, all things are possible. Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And certainly, we always emphasize that we leave that in the context of joy and contentment. But notice the phrasing in both sentences. With God, all things are possible. Paul's phrasing, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The power is there. So as we deal maybe with someone who's struggling in the world, or we're teaching our children as they grow up, there are readily available examples in all of our lives of times that we're just not strong enough to do it by ourselves. And here's Jesus extending His hand. Come to me. We've got this together. The evidence is there in His life, isn't it? Walks on water, calms the storms, walks out of the grave. How much more strength are we going to ask for? Coming to Jesus brings comfort. He'll carry us when we need it. We've probably all seen the old poem at some point or another where the man's looking back over his life and he sees the footprints in the sand. And there's two sets and there's one set and there's two sets and there's one set. And that one set of footprints always comes in the midst of trouble. And he wants to know where the Lord is at that time. And Jesus says, well, I'm carrying you. That's it. That strength rolls over to our comfort because He'll carry us through the storm. And He'll comfort us in every situation. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is that beautiful passage about the God of all comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we may be able to return that to others, to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also the comfort is abundant through Christ. God never asks us to face this life alone. The heartache, the hardship, the trial, whatever. We never walk alone unless we ask to. Commenting back on this morning a little bit, in Christ is pardon. We're forgiven our sins. Ephesians 1, verse 7. You know, we talked this morning about 2:8. That by grace are we saved through faith. Well, back in the previous chapter, Paul said, in Him we have redemption. He buys us back through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. That's part of our inheritance. There's salvation. When Jesus says, come to me, he's saying, look, I'm going to save you. There's no salvation in anyone else. There's no salvation outside of Christ. There's no salvation in any other religious body that Christ is not involved in. Acts 4 and verse 12, there is no other name under heaven whereby which we must be saved. That's it. There's exactly one name with power and comfort, redemption and pardon and salvation. When Jesus says, come to me, he's offering joy. Assurance that all is well with our souls. Now then, we often talk about the joy that as Christians we can have in this life, and certainly it's available. But not everything that is going to happen to us is joyous. And so sometimes we battle it. But on the other side, on the spiritual side of life, John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you. What did he speak? Do you remember the first part of John 15? I'm the vine, you're the branches. Stick with me. Abide with me. Attach yourself to me and stay attached. So he gets to 11 and he says, I've told you all of those things that my joy may be in you and it may be full. Our souls can rejoice even when the rest of us grieve. Our souls can rejoice even when the rest of our bodies, minds, and hearts hurt. Connected to that is peace. Remember when Jesus got in the boat? Remember when Jesus was asleep in the boat? Remember all those times he looked at the disciples and he says, why are you afraid? I'm right here. The Prince of Peace. No fear. The Lion of Judah. No fear. The Conquering Hero. No fear. John 14, verse 27. No fear. I'm going to give you peace. Peace I give you. My peace. Not peace like the world's going to give you. This is different. This is untouchable. This is going to come through the Comforter. It's going to come directly from me. When you have joy and you have peace, you can rest. The ability to be calm in spirit in this life. Chris has prayed it. Marty referenced it. The mail out that we're talking about references it. We live in a world of turmoil. It's not easy to rest if my eyes are on what's going on around me. But when he sticks out his hand and says, come, and I take it, and my eyes are locked on Jesus, I can be calm even in this life. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Yeah, I'm asking something of you. I'm going to give you a yoke. I'm going to ask you to bear a burden. But it's easy and it's light. So let me help you tote it. And let me give you some rest in this life. And we get eternal rest for our labor as well. One of those great beatitudes, and there's seven of them in Revelation. It's Revelation 14 and verse 13. Blessed are those who die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labors. So, rest in this life, the ability to cope with the world that we cannot control, cannot understand, and that at times, what? Very seriously, I'm not saying this so you'll laugh, we live in a world that's absolutely lost its mind. We can rest and be at peace and be calm. And as long as we stay in that, it's going to translate to eternity. Eternal life. The gift to God, of God to us in Jesus. When he says, come, he said, hey, I'm buying your eternity. My blood's fixing to pay your way. Romans 6 and verse 23. Wages of sin is death. The gift of God's eternal life in Christ Jesus. John 3 and 16 and so many other passages that we could list. And it's eternal life. My favorite passage about eternal life, I believe, is 1 John 5:13. It's a promise. It's a guarantee that if I accept the invitation and I stay inside the invitation, if I walk in the light, John says, I've written these things that you may know you have eternal life. The invitation offers happiness. The result of all of these things we've just talked about, when you add them up, go back to Proverbs chapter 16. He who gives attention to the word shall find good and blessed, or happy is he who trusts in the Lord. If I accept the invitation and I'm able to accept all of these offers that come from Christ for accepting that invitation, I'm going to find happiness in this life. It's not always going to be easy, but I'm going to find happiness. Because Ephesians 1 and verse 3, he's the source of all blessings. His Father's the giver of all good gifts, James 1 and verse 17. Every spiritual blessing's in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine how Jesus felt when he told the rich young ruler, look, this is all you're lacking, and I'll give you the world. Sell what you have and come and follow me. Can you imagine how he felt when the man turned and walked away? Every time I reject one of these blessings, every time I reject the invitation, he's going to feel the same way again. So what's the point tonight as we close? The point is very simple. There are a gazillion reasons to come to Jesus. And we have that to offer. We have that for the world. We have that for our children. We have that for ourselves to keep us faithful. But what you cannot come up with is a single reason that it makes sense not to come to him. It just makes sense to be in Christ. It's where we find everything we need. And what did he tell Peter? Even more. He said, I'm going to give you what you need, and I'm going to give you sometimes what you want. And I'm going to bless you till it's pressed down, shaken together, and running over in your lap. One of the hardest things in the world to do as a Christian, as you work with other people, is close the deal. You can go all the way through the Bible study. You can show them all the truth of Scripture. You can show them all the reasons that the church is right, that the plan of salvation is there. But when you get to the end, in a sense, it takes being a salesman. You've got to be able to close the deal. And so Jesus tells us right there in that text with the rich young ruler, I've got your selling point. You're asking them to give up everything and follow me? Absolutely. But I want you to tell them I'm going to give them everything back and more. We've got the closing argument. There's no reason not to obey the gospel. So when you work with the world, let them know that. And by the way, don't forget it yourself. Hold on to the invitation as we stand and sing.